live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 19th day of February 2026. If you watch Fox News, you no doubt have seen many TV commercials for a Roman Catholic prayer and meditation app called Hallo. And today we are going to be addressing, should Bible-believing Christians join Roman Catholics in prayer and meditation through the app that has taken the media by storm? I think this program is especially important because it's patently obvious that those through the corporation that offers this Roman Catholic prayer and meditation app, Hallo, are purposely trying to invite evangelicals and other non-Roman Catholics to register for the app and participate in it by the way and the manner with which the TV commercials are airing, trying to soften the more overtly Roman Catholic nature of the prayer app. But we have someone perfectly suited to address this issue today, who, just as I am, he is a former Roman Catholic who came to embrace the doctrines of sovereign grace and now seeks to educate, warn, and evangelize Roman Catholics through his ministry, ProclaimingTheGospel.org. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Mike Gendron.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's good to be back with you.
Why don't you tell our listeners something about ProclaimingTheGospel.org?
Well, sure. Proclaiming the Gospel ministry started 35 years ago out of our desire to see Roman Catholics saved. I grew up as a very devout Roman Catholic for 35 years of my life, and I really believed I belonged to the one true church, and that if I was loyal to my church, then I would eventually get to heaven, albeit through a detour into purgatory. But as I began reading the Bible at age 35, I recognized that the plan of salvation in the Catholic Church was diametrically opposed to the plan of salvation that is revealed so gloriously in the Word of God. And so I had a crisis of faith, and it came down to this, Chris. Should I trust Christ and his word for my salvation, or the teachings and traditions of my religion? I knew it was impossible to believe both, but it was during this crisis of faith that God granted me repentance, and he gave me eyes to see the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, and literally turned my life upside down. I repented from all the things I was doing to help save myself and put all of my trust and faith and hope in the all-sufficient work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so shortly after that, I couldn't get enough of God's word. I ended up going to Dallas Theological Seminary so I could learn the word of God. And it was during the last semester there at Dallas Seminary that I was introduced to a video by former priest and nun to the Catholic Church, and they were trying to reach Roman Catholics who were still trapped in religious deception. I brought the video home, shared it with my wife, who was also a devout Roman Catholic. And together we said, we have to show this video to every Roman Catholic we know. So for the next 3 months, we invited Catholics over to our home. Every Tuesday night, we showed the video, and then we answered questions that they had with the power and authority of God's word. And during that three-month period, we saw 17 Roman Catholics exchange their religion for a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was really the genesis of what we are doing today. The Lord has taken us all around the world, primarily in countries dominated by Roman Catholicism, to equip the body of Christ to reach out to this huge mission field that's made up of 1.4 billion precious souls trapped in the Roman Catholic religious system.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's move on to the main theme today, and that is the Halo app, which I'm sure that it's being promoted in commercials in many other places, but I typically am only getting my news from Fox News. And believe me, folks, I am not, by saying that, giving a wholehearted endorsement of Fox News. I have a lot of problems and differences with Fox News. There are a lot of compromises of truth on that network, it is at least a better option than most of the leftist media from which the majority of Americans get their news information. But the owners of the corporation that offers this Halo app must be spending a very large amount of money, because they are really saturating the airwaves of Fox News. And I'm sure you would agree, if you've seen the ads, that they are not very overtly, glaringly Roman Catholic. Very often these commercials feature the very popular actor Mark Wahlberg, and he will say prayers to Christ that any evangelical might say. There is nothing, at least in the commercials that I've seen, there's nothing overtly or even subtly heretical in what he says in his prayer. He is not praying to a saint or to Mary. He is praying directly to Christ. And even in the imagery, very often in the background, you will see what looks like it could be an Eastern Orthodox church, because you have icons rather than statuary. Statues might be more problematic for evangelicals to see. And so wouldn't you agree that there seems to be an effort here to calm the nerves of evangelicals and other Protestants to be more open-minded, to investigate and even become registered with this Halo prayer app?
Yes, Chris, you're right. We have to recognize that the goal of the Roman Catholic religion is to unite all of professing Christianity under the power and influence of the papacy. And so we've seen that since Vatican Council II, when they issued a decree on ecumenism, they have aggressively sought to unite all Christians together. And I think we can look back to evangelicals and Catholics together in a court that was co-authored by a Roman Catholic priest and Chuck Colson. That was the beginning of this push for unity between evangelicals and Catholics. Later on, you had the Manhattan Declaration, where another attempt for unity declared that Catholics, Orthodox, and Christian all share a common faith in the gospel. So now we see the Hollow app that was started in 2018. It's really pushing now to unite evangelicals and Catholics together in prayer. And we have to recognize that Rome's strategy for unity is to proclaim that all roads lead to Rome. And they're urging you and I, they call separated brethren, to come home for the fullness of salvation. Now, you might be surprised at that, Chris, but the Catholic Church says we will never have the fullness of salvation until we come back to the Eucharist. That is where you have the fullness of salvation. So this whole Hollow app is just another attempt for Rome to use to gather all Christians together under the papacy.
Yes, and it is interesting that they also feature a very well-known and popular actor named Chris Pratt, who identifies as an evangelical Christian. He is a part of the Hallow app, and you can hear him provide prayers and devotionals and so on. But Chris is married to a Roman Catholic. They are raising their children in the Roman Catholic faith, and he regularly attends Mass with his family. So he is not some evangelical Christian that seems to understand the gravity of the situation, and that the Church of Rome has a different gospel than historic biblical Christianity. He doesn't seem to recognize that the Church of Rome promotes and practices idolatry and necromancy, and we could go on and on and on. But that may be just another attempt to entice evangelicals to join the Hallow team, as it were. Am I making sense there?
Yes, you are. And I am also very well aware that Fox News has been promoting this, and anybody that watches Fox News knows that most of the reporters and the personalities on that station are Roman Catholic. It was easy to see on Ash Wednesday yesterday when many of them had the cross and ashes painted on their forehead. And so, yes, it's a pro-Catholic organization, and so it's not surprising that they're promoting the Hollow app. What is surprising is I noticed The View was also supporting the Hollow app, and that should
raise
red flags to anyone.
Really? I didn't know that. Well, and of course, something that saddens me, I'm not quite sure if he is a brother in Christ, but even though I have certain serious disagreements with Tucker Carlson, I have benefited from his podcast, and I agree with a lot of what he has to say politically, not everything. But he has presented himself, identified himself basically as a disgruntled Episcopalian who is a Christian, and he just recently read the Bible from cover to cover. He said for the first time in his life, there is a strong possibility that Tucker Carlson may be being drawn by God to himself. I've never had a conversation with Tucker to find out more about what he actually believes about the gospel itself. But he is promoting the Hallow app and raving about how the use of it with his family has revolutionized his faith. Now, of course, I don't know how much of the motivation to do this is coming from probably a very lucrative advertising contract with him. But, you know, I don't want to accuse him of allowing money to shift his public professions or anything like that. But he is just another example of their obvious intent to draw evangelicals into the fold of the Hallow app.
Yes, and there's another one, too. I actually had an opportunity to preach in his church. Francis Chan was once a very prominent evangelical, but he has been won over by the Roman Catholic religion. And so he embraces Catholicism now and calls Catholics his brothers and sisters in Christ. And so he is one that has been deluded and deceived by the Roman Catholic religion. And you mentioned that they have a different gospel. And we should probably take a moment to talk about that, because that's really the dividing line between Roman Catholicism and biblical Christianity.
Yeah, people might think we're nitpicking. People listening might think we're nitpicking, making a big deal out of nothing, and even demonstrating a spirit of hate and bigotry by warning Catholics that if they have the same gospel as their religion dogmatically proclaims, they have a false gospel. And this is not motivated, telling them this is not motivated by hate at all. It's the opposite. It's a motivation of love. So tell us more about this so our listeners are clear about this.
Yeah, Chris, I'm glad you brought that up. It's our love for our Lord Jesus Christ, and we want to be faithful to the Great Commission, which is to go and make disciples, teaching them to observe everything Christ has commanded. And Christ's first command was to repent and believe the gospel. So what is the gospel? Well, biblical salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That means it's apart from any works that we can do. Paul made that clear in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. We're saved by grace. And then after we are saved, then we do the works that we are called to do that God has created for us to walk in, Ephesians 2, 10. Paul says when he defines the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, it is the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to Scripture. And he says if you believe anything else, you believed in vain. Well, the Roman Catholic plan of salvation says that you must be baptized. That is the sacrament of regeneration and the sacrament of justification. Well, we know from Scripture that regeneration is the work of the Holy Spirit, not through water, but through the Spirit. And we know that justification comes by faith. And a seven-day-old infant has no capacity to believe anything, but yet the Catholic Church says the infant is now justified through the waters of baptism. And then they say sacraments are required for salvation. They have to attend the sacrifice of the Mass. They have to do penance in order to have their sins forgiven. They have to keep the law, and they have to do good works in order to be justified. Now, Chris, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 9 is very important in our discussion, because here we see the Judaizers came into town, and they said, if you're a Gentile, you not only need to believe in Jesus, but you need to be circumcised. They were adding one requirement to the gospel of grace. Well, Paul didn't say, let's have unity with these professing Christians who were called Judaizers. Instead, he brought down a divine anathema on them because they distorted the gospel by adding one requirement. When you look at the requirements the Catholic Church has added, if the Judaizers were condemned, the Roman Catholic clergy is equally condemned for preaching a distorted gospel. And that's why we need to rescue precious souls out from a religion that's under divine condemnation.
Yes, amen. And it is a religion that is steeped in idolatry as well. They promote and practice things that are clearly forbidden in the Scriptures, even a violation of one of the very Ten Commandments of God, the Second Commandment. And the communication with the dead is clearly necromancy. And Roman Catholics, of course, are adamant that they do not in any way, shape, or form worship Mary and the saints. They say they merely are venerating them. But the problem is their their categories are differences without a meaning. That whatever they do when they venerate Mary and the saints, they are actually worshiping. No matter what they're calling it, they are actually worshiping Mary and the saints. They are kneeling and praying to these deceased people. Now, of course, we know that those who were true Christians throughout history are alive in the presence of Christ in that sense, but the scriptures also speaks about people being physically dead, and we are forbidden to attempt to communicate with them. And so therefore they are kneeling and praying to deceased individuals, and they are attributing to these individuals powers and abilities and attributes that only God himself possesses. Am I going overboard here?
Not at all. Mary is not omniscient, and Mary is not present. She cannot hear the prayers of 1.4 billion Roman Catholics, and she cannot answer them either. And so you're right. The word venerate means to worship. All you have to do is look it up in Webster's dictionary, and you'll see it's a form of worship. And so should we pray to Mary? Should we consult the dead? You mentioned it, that Mary is physically dead, but she's spiritually alive. But in Deuteronomy 18, we are told not to pray to the dead, that it's an abomination before God. And I challenge Roman Catholics, show me anywhere in Scripture where there is anyone who prays, any God-fearing person who prays to anyone other than God. And you will not find anyone praying to anyone other than Almighty God, because he's the only one that can hear people's prayers. And so this prayer app called Holo that we're talking about, one of their major thrusts is to pray the rosary. Well, the rosary is made up of 53 prayers to Mary, and then a few prayers to the Trinity and a few prayers to the Father. But the predominance of prayers are going to Mary. And Roman Catholics believe that by praying the rosary, they're actually obtaining an indulgence. And Chris, I think we need to talk about this for a moment, because I call this the trilogy of deception in the Roman Catholic religion. It all started in the Garden of Eden when Satan told Eve, "You surely shall not die if you break God's command." And so the Roman Catholic Church took that and created the doctrine of venial sin, saying that when you break God's command, you surely shall not die. Venial sin only sends you to a place called purgatory, rather than the second death, which is the eternal lake of fire. So now that Catholics die in a state of venial sin, they go to this place called purgatory. Well, they needed another lie to get them out of purgatory, so they created indulgences, which by definition is the remission of temporal punishment for sin. Well, we know that the wages of sin is eternal death. The soul that sins will surely die. There's no such thing as venial sin. But that's why Catholics will pray the rosary. It's an indulgence to get their loved ones out of a place called purgatory. So it all started with a lie of the devil in the garden. Venial sins produce purgatory, which produce indulgences. And Paul even said that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith and follow doctrines of demons. And this is indeed doctrines of demons that the Catholic Church practices today.
Yes, and when I went to YouTube today before the program to listen to some of what Halo offers, one of the videos that came up was with a Roman Catholic priest who is one of the Halo prayer partners, if you will, one of the individuals that Halo features for prayer and meditation, that you can follow along with this priest. He is encouraging those on the Halo app to make the season of Lent more meaningful and powerful for them. And one of the things that he is urging them to do is attend Mass daily and also to go to confession at least twice. Can you tell us why, to an evangelical, this should be, although unfortunately very often it's not, but it should be recognizable that both the Roman Catholic so-called sacrament of the Mass and penance, confession, these are an abomination that violate and contradict and oppose the very gospel itself. If you could explain why those two things are so seriously in error and must be avoided and warned against by evangelicals.
During the sacrifice of the Mass, the Roman Catholic priest is said to have the power to call the Lord Jesus Christ back down from heaven to continue the work of redemption on an altar that he finished on a cross. We know that when Jesus, right before he gave up his spirit, he cried out, "It is finished. The work of redemption is finished." We even see in Hebrews 9 that when Jesus obtained eternal redemption, he entered into heaven. Past tense, it's already been done. But the Catholic Church says the Roman Catholic Mass is a continuation of the work of redemption on an altar. And when you look at the sacrifice of the Mass in contrast with the sacrifice of Calvary, Calvary was offered by the sinless Son of God on a cross. The sacrifice of the Mass is offered by sinful men on an altar. The sacrifice of Calvary was one perfect, finished sacrifice for all sin. The sacrifice of the Mass is daily sacrifices for past sins. And Chris, this is important for your audience to know. Catholics believe that they have to attend the sacrifice of the Mass for the propitiation of God's wrath against the sins they committed in the previous week. The Calvary sacrifice was for all sin. Sacrifice at Calvary was only for the living. The sacrifice of the Mass is for the living and the dead. The Catholic Church believes that when a loved one dies, the family member can go to the priest and purchase an indulgence, a Mass card, write the name of the loved one on the card, give it back to the priest with a stipend to pay for the indulgence, and then the priest lays the Mass card on the altar and he offers the sacrifice of the Mass for the loved one who is suffering in purgatory. Now get this, the sacrifice at Calvary was bloody. Jesus had to shed his blood for the remission of sin. But the sacrifice of the Mass is said to be a bloodless sacrifice. They've taken out the one element that is efficacious in purifying sin. The sacrifice at Calvary was unrepeatable, but yet the sacrifice of the Mass is repeated every day. You know, when you look at Hebrews chapter 9 and chapter 10, those two chapters totally destroy the Roman Catholic Mass, because there we read that he offered himself once for all sin, for all time. There are no more offerings for sin. If only Catholics would read those two chapters, they would recognize they're woefully deceived about the sacrifice of the Mass, and they'll come out of her, the Catholic Church, and not participate in her sins of idolatry anymore. We know by the authority of Scripture that the Eucharist cannot be the Lord Jesus Christ, because in Hebrews 9:28, we say that Jesus Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time and not to deal with sin. Well, the Catholic priest believes he's calling Jesus down from heaven to transubstantiate him into the Eucharist, where Catholics worship this as the true Christ, and then the priest lays him on the altar to be offered up again. So he doesn't appear every day. The Bible says, Hebrews 9:28, he will appear a second time and not to deal with sin, because he dealt with sin the first time he came on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. So I just plead with Roman Catholics, read your scriptures, read Hebrews 9 and 10, and then you will see that the sacrifice of the Mass is a blasphemous representation of Christ on an altar.
Amen. And as far as the sacrament of penance is concerned, Isn't this also an affront to the gospel and to Jesus Christ himself?
Well, it is. We know from Scripture, 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. And he's the only one qualified to mediate between two parties. We've got a holy God and we've got sinful man. Jesus Christ reconciles the two together through his work on Calvary's cross. He's the one mediator. And so we confess our sins directly to the Father. One of the most beautiful miracles that took place when Jesus gave up his spirit on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago, the veil separating the Holy of Holies from sinful man was torn open from top to bottom, showing that we no longer need a sacerdotal priesthood. Through the death of Jesus Christ, we now have direct access to the Father. The veil has been torn open. Praise God. The only high priest we need is Jesus Christ, who now reigns in heaven from his throne, interceding for all those who put their trust in him.
Amen. And we have to go to our first commercial break. If any of you would like to ask a question of Mike Gendron on the Hallow app or on specific Roman Catholic teachings that we believe are in opposition to the scripture, that are heresy, that might even correctly be identified as blasphemy, please send in your emails to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. I would also invite Roman Catholics who are adamantly opposing what we are saying today. I would be very open to reading the questions of Roman Catholics to see what they have to say about our conversation today. If you want to defend the Hallow or just defend the Church of Rome, feel free to write in. And of course, if you are uncomfortable about identifying yourself publicly, perhaps you are a Roman Catholic who is beginning to question the religion of which you are a member. Perhaps you were even raised in it, and you're starting to wonder if you are in the right religion. You're starting to wonder if your beliefs and practices are in accordance with the God-breathed words of Scripture. We understand if you want to remain anonymous, and I will grant your request to remain so, and will not read your name. You don't even have to provide it in the email. But if you are just asking general questions, I would appreciate it if you would give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence, unless you are remaining anonymous for a personal and private reason. Don't go away. We're going to be right back right after these messages from our sponsors. And don't forget, folks, our sponsors are what keeps Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air through their financial support. We could not exist without the financial aid of our advertisers. So please remember that whenever you hear commercials on Iron Sharpens Iron, we'll be right back.
Hello, this is Brian Nine, president of Hearts for the Lost Ministry. Our sole mission is to serve the local church and work directly with and alongside pastors and elders with their efforts to equip, excite, and educate their flock in biblical evangelism. We also provide practical experience opportunities in sharing the gospel directly within your immediate community. We accomplish this mission with training and Christ-centered outreach events designed to equip the church and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Our services are always 100% free. If you're looking to equip and mobilize your church for faithful gospel witness, please partner with us. Hearts for the Lost Ministry, serving the church, proclaiming the gospel. Contact us today at heartsfortheloss.com. That's heartsfortheloss.com. Now, have a heart and go share your faith.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning in to Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed, be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is Mike Gendron, former Roman Catholic who came to embrace the doctrines of sovereign grace and now works to educate, warn, and evangelize Roman Catholics through his ministry, ProclaimingTheGospel.org. Today we are addressing Hallow, should Bible-believing Christians join Roman Catholics in prayer and meditation through the app that has taken the media by storm? If you'd like to join us on the air with your own question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We have Brian in Palm Bay, Florida, who says, I do believe that outside of the Holy Spirit, one cannot understand the things of God. Along with that, I would like to hear how Catholics come to true saving faith. Are there certain arguments that you have seen God use to reveal himself? And then he has another question, but I'll let you respond to that first.
Well, sure, he's correct that the natural man cannot discern the things of God because they're spiritually appraised. We see that in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. But we also know that the Bible is has perspicuity, and that is you can understand the gospel. Now, the only two things necessary for salvation would be to repent of any false way that you're believing and believe the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we look to Roman Catholics and we ask them questions that would hopefully provoke their thinking. Number one, I think a good question is, what is your supreme authority for knowing truth? In the Roman Catholic religion, they have three authorities that are all said to be equal, and that would be scripture, tradition, and the papacy. But in actual reality, it's the papacy and the magisterium that sits above sacred scripture and tradition. And they twist and distort scripture so that it conforms to their ungodly tradition. And so the first thing we need to do with Catholics is to show them that the only infallible source for truth on this earth is the infallible, inspired, and errant word of God. We need to test every man's teaching with the word of God. And a good example of that is found in Acts 17:11. When the Bereans were hearing the apostle Paul preach, they searched the scriptures every day to determine whether or not Paul was speaking the truth. And so if an apostle comes under the scrutiny of being tested with scripture, shouldn't every pope and bishop and priest, shouldn't every evangelical pastor come under the same scrutiny? Every man's teaching needs to be tested with the supreme authority of God's word. So once you've established the word of God as the supreme authority, then you need to go to the sufficiency of our Lord Jesus Christ. and that is he did everything necessary to save sinners completely and forever. We have a gospel track entitled, You Can Never Do What Christ Has Done. He finished the work of redemption. The two things that keep anyone out of heaven, they have an eternal sin debt that finite man could never pay. Jesus canceled the eternal sin debt when he died on the cross. He died as a substitute for those who would put their trust in him. To be a substitute means that he died in the place of sinners. Well, that's not all. He also lived a perfect and sinless life, and God requires perfection for entrance into heaven. Sinners could never obtain that perfection, but when they trust in Christ alone, Christ gives his righteousness as a gift, as we say in Romans 5:17. In fact, my favorite verse in all of Scripture is 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. Chris, we know that's the greatest exchange in human history. By faith, Christ takes all of our sin, all of our guilt, all of our punishment, and in turn, he gives us his perfect righteousness. So that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Roman Catholic Church, as I mentioned earlier, does not believe that gospel. They've added works and sacraments and law-keeping to their gospel, and every Roman Catholic clergy member is under the same divine anathema that the Judaizers were for distorting the gospel. So again, we must beg Catholics to repent of the false way and believe the true way, which is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And Brian has a second question here. Let me scroll down here. How would you answer the tough questions dealing with which of the over 30,000 different Protestant churches are true, and the question of the Catholic Church giving us the Bible? Thank you for what you do, Mike, and to you as well, Chris. Yeah, first of all, I have heard that that is a complete exaggeration, that number that the Roman Catholic Church uses, 30,000. And from what I understand, they include in that number every non-Roman Catholic church. They include cults. They include mainline leftist apostate denominations. They even include some sects within professing Roman Catholicism that are not in communion with what they would consider the true church. So this is just a fictitious number, isn't it?
Well, it is, but it's a good question that we should be able to answer, and that is that no matter how big the number is, we have to acknowledge that there are Protestant denominations that are just as apostate as the Roman Catholic religion. And so finding a good church is really difficult. To find a church that submits to the supreme authority of God's word, that has a high view of God and proclaims and upholds the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is obedient to the Great Commission, that contends earnestly for the faith, it is very difficult to find a church that meets those characteristics, but yet that is the church that Jesus Christ founded. And so this isn't an issue of Roman Catholicism versus Protestantism. This is an issue of what does the Bible say versus any church that you attend? Does it line up with Scripture? And we know that the Roman Catholic Church cannot be the one true church because the way the church is defined in Scripture is not the Roman Catholic religion. If you look at the book of Acts, which is a history church of the first century church, the Roman Catholic Church says it's the same church as the first century, but yet where do you see any popes in the first century? Where do you see altars or priests offering sacrifices for sin? Where do you find indulgences or purgatory or the exaltation of Mary? Where do you find anything that the Roman Catholic Church is doing today, including transubstantiation? You won't find it in the first century church. But what you will find when you find the true church of Jesus Christ, it is made up of every born-again Christian. And in Hebrews, it says that every member of Christ's church has their name written in heaven. Well, the Catholic Church would not qualify because they would be the first to admit that Roman Catholics who die in mortal sin will go to hell. Their names are not written in heaven. So there's a lot of ways to respond to that, but those would be the principal ways to do that. And the second question I think he asked, what do you say when a Catholic says the Catholic Church gave us the Bible? Well, no, the Bible came from God. The Bible is inspired by God. The Catholic Church wasn't even around when the Old Testament became canon 250 years before Christ. So the Catholic Church didn't give us the Bible. The Catholic Church corrupted the Bible. And at the Council of Trent, the Catholic Church put the Bible on the list of forbidden books because the truth of God's word was setting captives free. That's what happened during the Reformation. The printing press came into existence. The Bible was put in the common vernacular of the people. People were reading it. And Jesus in John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32 said, anyone who abides in my word will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. Free from what? Religious deception and religious bondage. And so the Catholic Church wanted to take the Bible away from the people because they were losing people. The truth was setting them free.
Yes, and first of all, to go back to the original question of 30,000 denominations of Protestantism, the accusation is that in and of itself is proof that Protestantism, evangelicalism, is false, and that, as one well-known Roman Catholic apologist has said, that sola scriptura is a blueprint for anarchy. So the thing that that Roman Catholics refuse to admit, however, is that if you really make the comparison more genuine, you would not be including people in this list of 30,000 people in churches and organizations that don't even believe in sola scriptura to begin with. The cults don't believe in sola scriptura. They have extra sources of authority and so on. But if you narrow it down to evangelicals, in spite of all the serious differences evangelicals have and the in-house debates that we have and so on, there is far less difference between those churches than you will find in the Church of Rome. They are not some monolithic group speaking with one voice. You have ultra-leftist Roman Catholics all the way over to the ultra-traditionalists, Latin Mass Roman Catholics, who are vehemently opposed to Vatican II, who do not recognize Protestants as their separated brethren, who do not believe many of the teachings of the Catholic Church's catechism that offers hope of salvation for Jews and Muslims who reject Christ and the Trinity. And so, you know, you have all kinds of Roman Catholics that are still members of that religion in good standing. They're even teaching in their schools and, you know, writing books, and you have popes, including the current one and the one preceding him, who, without question, are teaching things that would have had them executed by the Roman Catholic Church centuries ago. So this is not one monolithic group, is it?
Well, you're right. All you have to do is look back to the previous Pope Francis. They didn't know what to do with him because he did not even represent historic Roman Catholicism. He dared to say that atheists will be in heaven as long as they're sincere. He was a universalist. He denied the existence of hell. And so what do you do with that, Roman Catholic? Do you listen to your Pope, or do you say that's not true according to Scripture or according to historic Roman Catholicism? Which is it? But it's not a monotheistic religion, that's for sure. They even embrace Islam as part of God's plan of salvation. And so the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that Islam, just like any false religion, is outside of Christ, and they need to be evangelized, but not according to the Catholic Church. Paragraph 841 says the Muslims are part of God's plan of salvation. And Chris, I don't know if this upsets you as much as it does me, but the Catholic Church condemns you and I and every born-again Christian with dozens and dozens of anathemas. But yet, we believe in the sufficiency of Christ. We believe his gospel. And the Muslims deny that Jesus went to the cross.
Right.
They deny salvation is through Christ alone. But the Catholic Church says they're part of God's plan of salvation. But born-again Christians are condemned.
I don't know if you have heard the new spin that many Roman Catholic apologists have. I'm not saying that they all do, because as I already said, it's not a monolithic group. But I have been orchestrating theological debates since 1996 between my longtime, very dear friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and Roman Catholic opponents. I've also had debates featuring Dr. Tony Costa, representing biblical Christianity. And I've never heard in all those decades until recently Roman Catholics saying that the anathemas of Trent do not apply to evangelicals. This is a new one to me. They are now saying, at least many of them are, that these anathemas are only applying to people who are members of the Roman Catholic Church, so we don't have to worry or be offended by these anathemas. Isn't this absurd?
It is. It's lip service. Because you don't read that in the Council of Trent. You don't read
right. That
this is only for Roman Catholics. No, anyone, they say, anyone, all the way through.
And as far, that's right, it says if anyone, and every single anathema. And as far as the Catholic Church giving us the Bible, that's the claim, and their claim that we make ourselves little popes because we are trying to interpret Scripture, and that's why there's anarchy amongst us, because people disagree with each other in evangelicalism. And they have an infallible pope and magisterium. Well, the problem is they don't have an infallible interpreter for their alleged infallible interpreter. Whenever a pope says anything, you see Catholics, especially in our day and age of the internet and so on, disagreeing all over the place with how to interpret what the Pope said. They don't have any infallible interpreter for these messages.
Yeah, the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. It is the only infallible source for truth that God has left us with. And we're all going to be held responsible for what the Word of God says. And like I said, the Bible has perspicuity. We can understand it. And God has given us the Spirit to understand the Word of God. And so, yes, there are divisions within the evangelical church. Some of those divisions are based on eschatology. And those divisions are not salvific. We do have unity in the gospel. Every born-again Christian believes what the Bible says about salvation. So there's unity there. And we're all growing in sanctification. As we abide in God's word, we learn more and more about God's word and God himself and the Lord Jesus Christ. We repent of any false way that we were holding on to as we abide in God's word. So yeah, it's a process of sanctification. And I look forward to the Bible study in heaven, where we can sit at the feet of Jesus and he will explain every jot and every tittle to us. But let's make sure everybody recognizes that we do have unity in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And of course, not everybody that claims to be an evangelical really is one. There are groups that are under that umbrella, like Word of Faith Pentecostals and so on, who are teaching absolute heresy about all sorts of things, about the nature of Jesus Christ himself. And they definitely are teaching dangerous and false gospels and so on. So it is unfair to include them amongst our ranks of evangelicals just because there are naive and ignorant evangelicals who are following these people, these wolves in sheep's clothing, which the Bible warns that these wolves in sheep's clothing will come out from among us. They will rise up from among us.
Every book of the New Testament except one warns of false teachers. So we have to be on the alert. You know, Roman Catholics always want us to read the early church fathers because they say that's proof that the second, third century church was Roman Catholic. My response is always, how do we know that the early church fathers you want me to read are not the very people Paul warned us about right before he went to glory? He said, even from your own number, speaking to the Ephesian elders, even from your own number, men will arise to distort the truth for the purpose of leading people astray. So be on the alert. You can see the emotion in Paul's words there. He knows this is going to happen. And so when you look at the early church fathers, you see them on both sides of every issue. So by reading them, you haven't proven anything. And so I have formulated a principle that I encourage everyone to follow, and that is we need to always test the uninspired words of men with the inspired word of God. If it conforms to the word of God, we believe it. If it goes against the word of God, we reject it. That's a good principle for all of us to follow.
Amen. We have to go to our midway break right now. When we come back, we will go immediately to Andrew in Brooklyn, New York's question. And we have others as well waiting to have their questions asked and answered on the air. You may feel free to get in line and join them at chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question is personal and private. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnson's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
So don't forget, folks, whenever you buy a gift of jewelry from royaldiadem.com, whether it's a gift for yourself or a gift for someone you love, whether it is jewelry that they already have in stock at royaldiadem.com, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry designed and created, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you are also giving us a phenomenal gift at the same time. Because the owners of RoyalDiadem.com love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they automatically provide us with financial support every single month, but on top of that, they give us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they purchase their jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com. So please, help RoyalDiadem.com help us by going to RoyalDiadem.com today. Find out what jewelry you can purchase or have designed for someone you love or for yourself. And if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we will get 100% of the profits. That's RoyalDiadem.com. Mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to this fascinating conversation with Mike Gendron of ProclaimingTheGospel.org, as we warn our listeners to stay clear of and have nothing to do with the Roman Catholic prayer and meditation app, Hallo, I do have some reminders for you folks. If you listen to this program regularly, you will know that we lost two of our largest financial supporters, two of our largest advertisers, one of which was a Christian bookstore serving the Christian community worldwide with the best in Christian literature at phenomenally low prices. Well, they sadly went out of business permanently after 50 years of serving the community, and they were one of our largest advertisers, and so therefore we are suffering a huge financial loss by their going out of business. And there was a second advertiser and a third may be right behind them that will no longer be able to support us. So we need your help to replenish and replace that lost income. If you really love this show and don't want it to go off the air, I'm urging you to please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. And if you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check at your post office to a physical mailing address, there will also be a physical mailing address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, business, professional private practice like a law firm, a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event you want to promote, As long as it is compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And as much as I am begging you to help us financially and letting you know of our urgent need for your help, I never want anybody in my audience to ever give your own church where you're a member less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us with a financial gift. In other words, please never cut into the finances that you have specifically set aside and reserved for your Lord's Day giving to your own church in order to bless us. Leave that money alone and give it to your church. Also, if you are really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you're back on your feet and more financially capable of donating to us. But having said all that, if you love the show and you don't want it to go off the air and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us if you want us to continue on the air. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have helped many people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience spanning the entire globe find churches that are biblically faithful, sometimes even just a couple of minutes from where they live, and that may be you too. So please, no matter where you live in the world, if you are without a biblically faithful church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to Mike Gendron on the Hallo Roman Catholic Prayer and Meditation app. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. We have Andrew in Brooklyn, New York. Now, I don't know if this is a rhetorical question he's written or if he thinks you're a prophet of some kind, Mike, but Andrew says, how soon will it be before Rome does something that ardent Roman Catholics will say has crossed the line? No institution that rejects the ultimate authority of Scripture can survive the spirit of the age. How would you respond to Andrew in Brooklyn?
I think I understand the question is, what will it take for a Roman Catholic to get up and leave the Roman Catholic religion?
Or do something. He didn't really say leave, but that may be what he's implying.
Well, Roman Catholics are leaving their religion every day.
Right.
However, very few of them are converting to the evangelical faith, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I hate to say this, Chris, but I think there are more Protestants who are leaving their churches to join the Roman Catholic religion and vice versa.
Really?
And I think that's the default of our pastors, because number one, many pastors are not warning their congregations about the false and fatal gospel of the Roman Catholic religion. These pastors are not warning their youth to avoid dating Roman Catholics because they're unequally yoked if they ever marry them. And so 4 out of 5 times in our ministry, we've seen when a Protestant marries a Catholic, the Protestant converts to Catholicism. And that's really troubling, because we're supposed to stand on the truth of God's word, whereas Catholics stand on the error of their religion. But they're unwilling to compromise, and Protestants are compromising all the time. But I really go back to the only way anyone can leave the Roman Catholic Church and come to a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is to repent of the false plan of salvation in the Catholic Church and trust Christ as their all-sufficient Savior, therefore repenting of all the sacraments and good works and keeping the law that they're doing to save themselves and putting all of their hope and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I wrote the book, Preparing for Eternity. It is a book that has set so many Roman Catholics free from the bondage of religious deception. And that's because what I do in the book is I lay out the Word of God right alongside the paragraph of the Catechism of the Catholic Church that opposes the gospel. And it forces a Catholic to make the same decision I did 35 years ago. Should I trust Christ and his word or the teachings and traditions of my religion? It's impossible to believe both. And so that's where you must repent and put your faith in Christ alone.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and spreading the word in Brooklyn, New York about what we're doing here. One of the dangers here involving the Holo app is reflected not in just Roman Catholicism, but in evangelicalism and even in the realm of conservative politics. There is a problem with human beings being enamored by celebrities. And you have, for instance, Nicki Minaj, a female hip-hop singer that has appeared on a stage with Donald Trump, oozing with adoration, with high accolades for him, vowing her support to him. You have the same woman sitting in a chair across from Charlie Kirk's widow, Erica Kirk, and Erica showing her such a warm welcome to the fold of PTUSA and so on. This woman has produced some of the most vulgar and perverse music, promoting lesbianism and all kinds of things that are an abomination to God. Even Charlie Kirk, when he was living, said this woman was a danger to the youth of America. And yet, people who are conservative seem to be so desperate for allies that they will cling to any ally they can find. And so therefore you have this whole idea of celebrity worship, really. And Mark Wahlberg is a celebrity. Now, I believe, as far as everything I know about Mark Wahlberg, and I don't know him personally, but he's probably a very moral man, probably a very devout and loving husband and parent. I know that he is on a mission to produce more wholesome films to bring to the cinema that are not slaves to the woke movement and all that kind of thing. And you have Jonathan Romey, I think that's the way you pronounce his name, who portrays Christ in the Chosen series. You have Chris Pratt, who I mentioned before, who professes to be an evangelical Christian, very popular actor in many very popular movies. Vince Caviezel, who's also portrayed Christ in The Passion of the Christ, produced by Mel Gibson. We really have to be very discerning not to let ourselves be wooed in to involve ourselves and participate in things just because major celebrities are promoting them. Isn't this a danger?
Well, it is, and you've touched on a very important subject. Not only are they following Hollywood celebrities, but even within the umbrella of Christianity, we have so many people following Christian personalities rather than the Word of God. And some of the personalities people follow would be Joel Osteen and Rick Warren and Francis Chan, and those have all compromised the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think Rick Warren was responsible for flooding our churches with false converts with his false gospel that he gave in his purpose-driven life. And so, yeah, we have to test every man's teaching, whether it be a celebrity or not, with the infallible and inerrant word of God. But when you look at the hollow wrap, there's one thing that we haven't really talked about, and other than they really encourage praying the rosary.
Right.
And for those who do not well know what the rosary is, it's a set of repetitious prayers to Mary. It's 53 prayers to Mary where you count your beads, and oftentimes Catholics will do this mindlessly. They'll just mumble the words. And Jesus addressed this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. He said, when you pray, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose they will be heard by their many words. And that's really what the rosary is all about, which is really, I think, the focus of the prayer act that the Roman Catholic Church is pushing. So, again, we have to test everything with the Word of God, and if it doesn't conform, we have to reject it.
Yes, I was raised, as you were, a Roman Catholic, and I could rattle off by heart, and still can, some of the prayers that are common in Roman Catholicism. And even if it is a God-breathed prayer, like the prayer commonly called the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, if it becomes something that you just blurt out and repeat over and over again, just because you've memorized the syllables in those words and sentences and can quickly rattle them off, that's vain repetition as well, even though the words are right from the breath of Christ. It's also a false practice to use them in the way Rome does.
Well, you're right, Chris. And going back to the Hail Mary that is prayed to Mary, many of your listeners may not know how highly the Roman Catholic Church esteems Mary. In some sense, she takes on many of the attributes that are given to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. She hasn't been named the fourth person of the Trinity yet, but according to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, Catholics are taught without a single sin to restrain her, she became the cause of salvation for herself and the whole human race. That's paragraph 494. And there's a lot that's being said there. She is a sinless mediator, and she was the cause of salvation for herself. Only sinners need to be saved. So in this one paragraph, they say she's without sin, but yet she was the cause of salvation for herself and the whole human race. And then that's not all. As mediatrix, she did not lay aside the saving office, but by her manifold intercession, continues to bring us the gifts of eternal salvation. That is pure blasphemy. It's robbing Christ of his unique position as the one mediator and the one savior. And so Catholics need to be forewarned that to pray to the Catholic Mary is really a sin of idolatry and a sin of false worship, because prayer is really a form of worship. And I must say that you mentioned TPUSA, the founder, Charlie Kirk, I think, was asked one time if he was considering joining the Roman Catholic religion. And he said to some extent that he would not join a religion that offers two sinless mediators, referring to Mary, of course, as being the sinless mediator between God and man.
Wow. That's good to hear. Let's see. We have Lyle in Toronto, Canada. And Lyle says, I'm tuning in late, so forgive me if I'm asking you to repeat something you already addressed. Isn't it wrong to begin with to join in prayer with Roman Catholics and other false Christians? I'm not talking about praying for them. I'm talking about praying with them, and even especially when a Roman Catholic is leading you in these prayers. Very excellent, excellent point.
Well, it is. Thank you for that question, Lyle, and I'm glad you asked it, because we have to recognize that unbelievers have nothing in common with believers. We see that in 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. In fact, we have a different father. Every unbeliever is a child of the devil. His father is Satan. And the only way that the father of our Lord Jesus Christ will become the father of any unbeliever is if they repent and believe the gospel. And then they're welcomed into the family of God, and then they can call the true God their father. And so when we're in a mixed company of Roman Catholics, I often go out to abortion clinics and I protest the abortions that are going on there, and we try to save human life, but also we're engaged with Roman Catholics for their spiritual life, but we never pray with them. In fact, if you ever pray with a Roman Catholic, you can never begin your prayer with Father, because they have a different Father. If I pray with a Roman Catholic, I will call on God as the sovereign Lord, because he's not their Father. But yes, we never should allow a Catholic to lead us in prayer. We would take the forefront and pray to a sovereign Lord for their salvation, and also for them to have eyes to see the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ.
Yes, so therefore, evangelical Christians, those who believe in a biblical gospel, cannot participate in prayer and meditation with people who reject the gospel that we believe, who are involved in idolatry. And this is not restricted to the hallow issue. This has to do with a lot of things, events that evangelicals, even men who I have high respect for as far as what they believe and teach, but are promoting wrongly these major national events and so on that are designed to be prayer gatherings for anybody that says they love Jesus. And of course, that Jesus, there is not one specific definition given for who this Jesus is that they are promoting the prayer gathering for, and of course the gospel that follows. So evangelicals have far too often, and still far too often, link arms with people who are enemies of the gospel. That may sound harsh, because I don't believe that many of these people intend to be enemies of the gospel, but through their ignorance of the truth or their rejection of the biblical truth, they are nonetheless enemies of the gospel. And for us to be joined in an act of worship, which is prayer with them, is just it's sin, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And I know I said something that was very harsh a few moments ago, and I always like to back things up with scripture. When I said that every unbeliever is a child of the devil, we look to John chapter 8, where Jesus was addressing the apostate Jewish leaders, and he called them children of their father, the devil, the father of lies. And so that's the reference for any Roman Catholic that thinks I might have been speaking too harshly. All I'm doing is sharing the word of God and urging them to make the true God their father, and that's only by repenting and believing the gospel. You know, we talked about the Catholics having another Mary. Chris, you alluded to the fact that they also have another Jesus. And I'd just like to share a couple of characteristics of the Jesus that Roman Catholics worship. He did not finish the work of redemption. That's why he is offered again in the form of the Eucharist every day by a Catholic priest. He did not satisfy divine justice, which is why Catholics still have to fear going to hell if they die in the state of mortal sin. Catholics need to know that when they trust Jesus alone, then their sins are no longer counted against them. And that's from 2 Corinthians 5:18, when we see that God is reconciling the world to himself through Jesus Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Why doesn't he count them against them? Because they were all placed on Christ. The Catholic Jesus did not purify all sin, which is why they have purgatory. The Catholic Jesus did not provide direct access to God, which is why they have priests as mediators. The Catholic Jesus did not make believers perfect forever. We see in Hebrews 10:14, by one offering, the true Jesus has made perfect forever those who are being sanctified. But the Catholic Jesus doesn't provide that, and he does not secure salvation. Catholics do not have the hope of eternal life because their eternity is based on what they do rather than what Christ has done. The only way anyone can have assurance of eternal life is when they put all of their faith and hope in Jesus Christ alone. As long as they are adding their works to what Christ has done, there can never be assurance. So they must repent of all their dead works and put their faith in Christ alone.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's see. We have Phyllis in Aquabog, Long Island, New York. And Phyllis says, I just heard, to my amazement, that the Halo app now includes as a prayer partner the very prominent and popular recording artist Gwen Stefani, known for very sexually provocative music and stage presentations. Yeah, I heard that myself before this interview when I was beginning to do a little research on Halo. And sure enough, that's true. And I've never heard that she has publicly repented over the very sinful and sexually provocative music that she's produced. And even though she makes some kind of claim about becoming more involved in the religion of her youth, Roman Catholicism, she does not dress modestly. She is not an example for young Christian or Catholic ladies to emulate. In fact, she was not long ago promoting a Christmas album on the Today Show, and the dress that she was wearing could not have possibly been shorter and still be considered a dress. So, yeah, this is problematic, isn't it?
Well, it really is, and it goes back to Paul's exhortation in 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 18, that believers have nothing in common with unbelievers. What is light have in common with darkness? What does Christ have in common with Belial? We're to be separate, to sanctified by the truth, and not to hold hands with Roman Catholics in any spiritual enterprise, whether it be the Hollow app or anything else. And so I just encourage everyone that's listening to have discernment. There's so much deception going in the world today that we really need to be abiding in God's word to know the truth and to be able to expose the evil deeds of darkness, as the Apostle Paul exhorted us to do in Ephesians 5:11. The deception is only going to get worse, and the ecumenical push for unity is also going to move forward at a very rapid rate. We know in the end times there will be a global religion, and the Roman Catholic religion is the catalyst, and they're using all of these different venues to join all Christianity together under the power and influence of the Pope. So we need to be aware and warn others about it.
Amen. And now we have to go to our final commercial break. And if you have any intention to send in a question, I would do so immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and his doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hello, this is Brian Nine, president of Hearts for the Lost Ministry. Our sole mission is to serve the local church and work directly with and alongside pastors and elders with their efforts to equip, excite, and educate their flock in biblical evangelism. We also provide practical experience opportunities in sharing the gospel directly within your immediate community. We accomplish this mission with training and Christ-centered outreach events designed to equip the church and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Our services are always 100% free. If you're looking to equip and mobilize your church for faithful gospel witness, please partner with us. Hearts for the Lost Ministry, serving the church, proclaiming the gospel. Contact us today at heartsforthelost.com. That's heartsforthelost.com. Now, have a heart and go share your faith.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's L-Y-N-Brook Baptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. The Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
And folks, please never forget that this program is also paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, call my longtime dear friend and brother in Christ, Daniel P. Bettofuco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit Dan's website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, and please make sure you mention to Daniel P. Bettofuco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Bettofuco & Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, I want to remind all men in ministry leadership that you are invited to the next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon, featuring for the second time as keynote speaker Dr. Conrad Mbewe, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and also church planter all over the African continent, and highly sought after and world-renowned conference speaker and author. This is completely free, not only your meal and your opportunity to hear Dr. Mbewe preach in person and your opportunity to fellowship with old friends and new acquaintances alike, but on top of all of that, every man in attendance is going to receive a heavy sack of free, brand-new books, personally selected by me and generously donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom, possibly even two heavy sacks of these books if you attend this luncheon. And I just got word while I was doing this live program, I just got word from my friend Alexander Strauch that he is shipping copies of Biblical Eldership, Restoring the Eldership to Its Rightful Place in the Local Church, for every man who attends the pastor's luncheon. This is a $35 hardback, and Alexander's sending these to us absolutely free, as all of our generous publishers who support the luncheons are doing. And, of course, I heard a day or two ago from my friend Phil Johnson of Grace to You, the ministry of the late John MacArthur, that he's shipping out copies of the late Dr. MacArthur's book, The Doctrines of Grace, for every man in attendance at my luncheon. And there are many other books being shipped to us. So if you'd like to register, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com and the pastor's luncheon in the subject line. Before I go to a listener question, Mike, I want you to make sure that you summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today about this Halo app.
The main thing I'd like to recommend people that are listening is to contend earnestly for the purity and the exclusivity of the gospel. The Roman Catholic religion is an apostate form of Christianity. It has a gospel that's under divine condemnation. I plead with people to evangelize Roman Catholics. We need to rescue them out from a religion that is under divine condemnation. And we need to be sanctified by the truth. We cannot join hands with unbelievers in spiritual enterprises. I would also encourage them never, ever let a lie go unabated. We need to reprove people with divine authority using the Word of God. And more than ever, I think we need to make sure that we are fully equipped to share the gospel. I really believe that when you give the gospel verbally, you should also leave it in written form, which is why we have eight different gospel tracts to leave behind after we give the gospel. My book, Preparing for Eternity, has set so many Roman Catholics free from the bondage of religious deception. So avail the resources at our website, proclaimingthegospel.org, and we want to be here to equip the body of Christ. And now if we could go on to another question.
Okay, we have Jonathan in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, who says, in spite of the religious differences you have with Mark Wahlberg and some of the other spokespeople for the Halo app, don't you think they deserve our respect for taking such a huge risk by publicly endorsing their religion in Hollywood, where they could lose jobs, and that translates to possible millions of dollars. Oh, yeah, I've never meant to attack these people personally, and I think it's great that Mark Wahlberg seems to be on some kind of a spiritual journey and wants to bring more wholesome material to the film industry. But in spite of all of the accolades we could give Mark and things that are can be rightfully said in admiration of him and anybody else that might be one of these well-known people that are taking a risk in their career by making these public stands for morality and for even Jesus Christ, that does not mean that what they are promoting is not dangerous to the souls of people. And if you could just finalize with your own thoughts before we go off the air, Mike.
Yeah, ultimately, we want to honor our Lord Jesus Christ and be obedient to his word. And we are to expose the evil deeds of darkness, which is what the Hollow App is all about. It's an evil way of praying. It goes against God's word, is how we are to pray. We've talked about that. So, yes, we're not attacking the person. We're attacking the issues that have come up that go against God's word, only to be good Bereans, to test everything with the supreme authority of God's word. So that's what I would encourage everyone to do. And that goes for Roman Catholicism, Chris. I know you grew up Catholic, too. We are to love Roman Catholics, but we are to hate the religion that deceives them about life's most critical issue. And there's where we draw the line.
Yes, there was a listener who, responding to the promotion of our interview, accused us, before she even heard the show, of demonizing the Catholics involved in the Hollow App. And we're not demonizing anybody. We are warning people about dangerous and damning heretical beliefs. And if the Apostle Paul could not keep his mouth shut or keep his pen from paper to warn about the Judaizers, who, from what we know, agreed with Paul on nearly everything, except they insisted that people must be circumcised in order to be saved. That one thing made Paul say, that they were false professors who should be accursed and that they had no gospel at all. Should we be kinder to people of other religions who are doing the same thing as the Judaizers, if not more, in rebellion against the gospel?
The very nature of deception is that people do not know they're deceived until they are confronted with the truth. And that's what you and I as truth bearers must do, and what we've done in this program. People have been deceived about this Hollow Prayer App. And what was Satan's goal in the garden? To divert people's attention away from Christ. And he uses the Catholic Mary to divert people's attention from their pure devotion to Christ. So that's all we're pointing out. And hopefully people will recognize that we're being obedient to the scripture and obedient to our Lord.
Amen. And I want to remind everybody of your website, proclaimingthegospel.org. Proclaimingthegospel.org. There's a treasure trove of resources there, books, video recordings, and you may want to consider having your church book Mike Gendron for a speaking engagement. I want to thank you so much, Mike, for being such an exquisite guest. You're not only a man who is very well-versed in the scriptures and very bold in your proclamation of gospel truth, very obviously have more fear of God than of men and are more concerned with offending God than offending humans and hurting their feelings. especially mean when it means that hurting their feelings may bring them by the power of the Holy Spirit to their knees in repentance of faith and see them rescued from an eternity in hell. So thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest today, Mike. I want to thank everybody who listened. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.